When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dearly beloved,
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the purple Baco.
Purple and, helmet. That's not a purple.
Purple helmet? No.
Sad day here in Minnesota.
Yes, thanks for throwing that dick reference in right at the beginning of the show.
That's what Prince would have wanted.
Yeah, sure. That's true. You definitely throw the sex in there. But yeah, so just like you said, we're covering Prince today, and it's pretty much going to be... You're going to control the conversation, the music. You are from Minnesota, so you definitely got the local flavor. And
don't you know?
Just before I give up control, which is very hard for me in all aspects of life, is that I wanted to tell you a quick story that has to do with lyrics from a certain Prince classic that completely confused me, and I'm still confused to this day which way it's supposed to go. So I'm going to start out with Darling Nikki. One of the first albums, Purple Rain, that I owned. So I need an outside opinion. I've discussed this with others, and I'm not sure if we've ever come into the resolution. So you ready?
I know where you're going with this. It's about masturbation.
It is, but I need to know which version it is. So essentially, the whole lyric that brought the whole PMRC pretty much into existence was I met her in a hotel lobby masturbating in a magazine. Now,
with a magazine.
Is it with?
I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine.
So I'm either two ways. Like, I heard it in, or maybe I heard it with, but this is the thing I don't understand. Now, is it your impression that he walked into a hotel lobby and he found Nikki sitting on a couch or somewhere with a magazine, fingering herself?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if that is the true, I don't care if you're in a Holiday Inn or Ritz-Carlton, that is quite an event to behold, correct?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So or the Midway Motel.
Yes. It doesn't matter the situation. It's a highly unlikely situation. But I was like, well, that seems a little outlandish. The way I read it is, I met her in a hotel lobby masturbating in a magazine, that he opened up a magazine and saw this playmate or whatever, or penthouse if she's masturbating, that she was in there, and he met her by seeing her in the magazine.
Yeah, but his next line is he's talking to her.
Okay.
So maybe he's imagining it. I guess, you know what? It works either way. Let's put it that way. I mean, and isn't that the beauty of Prince, is that when he writes a song about a girl masturbating, there's different, we can all interpret it our own way. You know, and that's what the PMRC really missed about that, by the way, is that, like, it to you it's this, to this person it's that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, he might have been talking about the fact that, back in the day you could see a Playboy or a penthouse on the racks of your local 7-Eleven just sitting there. Maybe he was commenting on the social aspect that maybe these magazines should not be sitting in the lobbies of hotels. What do you think of that?
You know, ever since you started talking about the song, I'm like, how do you like the way sometime? And I could not resist. I just the lyrics.
Nikki Grind.
Oh, Nikki. I don't see what the PMRC had a problem with that. You know?
Exactly. Now, the other part is that.
Didn't ruin my life.
No. But the other part is, what's the last time you saw Purple Rain, as in the movie?
I think the Saturday after he died.
Exactly. So, me too. I probably haven't seen it since the 80s. And all I remembered in my thought was, it was a movie that had a bunch of concert scenes, and the rest of the time he drove around a motorcycle. And the rest of the time, and then after, and I did not remember, and I don't know if this struck you as different than as a kid, I was like, holy fuck, I can't believe they just did that. And you know what part I'm talking about?
Oh, probably not. I mean, the Apollonia scene by the fake lake. It's,
yes. Classic.
Is it? Oh, no.
I remember that, you know, of course, anytime you see boobies at like age 11 right. or 12, you're like, boom, you keep rewinding it.
Well, hey, go ahead. You finish your point.
Yeah, my point is that it's very rare that a concert film, we'll just call it a concert film, I think that holds the record for a level of domestic abuse in a concert film. but on top of that, it's the only concert film I've ever seen where a woman that somebody has had a relationship with is dismissed by an assistant throwing her in a dumpster.
Yeah, I think that may be the first and last time. But again, groundbreaking. Well, you're a couple years younger than me. Did you see it in the theater?
Oh, no. I saw.
Because I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But with, in Owatonna, they have this is a two screen theater. So there's left and right, and they're both. You walk in, buy your ticket, and in the middle is a concession stand, and you can see the entrances to all the doors very clearly. And in between them are two video games. So me and some friends bought tickets to whatever movie wasn't R rated, and played video games for about 10 minutes, and then one by one walked into Purple Rain. So that's how I got to see that underage.
Yeah, well done. That's like the time you're dropped off by your parents and you just bust out like three movies in a day, just staying in the hallways and walking into each one. I don't know if you ever did that, but I did, definitely.
And I'm not kidding. One of the first things that crossed my head when Prince passed, and you know, after you kind of get over the reality that it's true, was the idea that, like, because him and Michael were kind of competitive. Michael Jackson, I'm speaking of, is like, well, Michael is playing with chimps and, you know, Webster and Macaulay Culkin. You know, Prince is showing us Apollonia's tits. And I was like, that's a much better guy to pay attention to.
And when I've heard people say, like, yeah, man, that guy was so feminine and gay, I'm like, he might have been feminine. He might have been, you know, if he's on a basketball team, it's the shirts versus the blouses. I get all that, but I will tell you, he might ball, he might not, but, you know, that guy, even if he went both ways, he definitely liked the ladies. I mean, or he faked it like a son of a bitch.
But think about that, too. Think about how effeminate he was, and, but yet, you still get so many guys that go, that dude is a badass motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
I mean, all stage he's fucking moves. Prancing around in high heels, wearing purple all the time. He's skinny. He's tiny. He's, you know, always damn near dressing like a woman sometimes. But yet, who else has been able to cross that as effectively as he has? I mean, he, you know, more than the hair metal bands. I mean, he really, and still to be looked at. I mean, nobody thinks Michael Jackson's a badass, you know, but. And he was, you know, similar, you know, a little effeminate and girly at times. But, I mean, two different things, I guess. But, you know, it's just, Prince was such a, I mean, like we talked about his guitar playing. I mean, so fucking good on guitar. I don't give a crap about, you know, that song Kiss, but, you know, no. Play fucking Let's Go Crazy again.
Yeah, all that stuff. And in
Super Bowl halftime.
Obviously, you've seen the Dave Chappelle skit from back in the day, right?
Yeah, it's where Charlie Murphy talks about, yeah, you know, playing basketball with his brother.
Right, and one of the things he mentions is basically when he meets Prince in the morning, he walks down and he says he was wearing an outfit that looked like it was sewn for him that morning.
that's one of the things that's at Paisley Park, by the way. A mannequin built to his specific dimensions so that he could have tailors creating outfits for him.
That's awesome. Yeah, and one other thing with that, too, is that, you know, he had a sense of humor. I didn't even know this until afterwards, too, when I was going through the whole thing. But he had a single, I guess, that came out a couple years ago called Breakfast Can Wait. And it had Dave Chappelle on the cover of it in his Prince outfit holding a thing of pancakes. Because that was the end of the skit, is that he made pancakes for everybody. But and then Dave Chappelle was on like the Tonight Show and goes, that is a straight up like judo move that he did. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Sue him for putting my likeness on a single? He's like, I can't do that. I was making, it's one of my most famous skits. But so
no obviously doubt.
He didn't take it too seriously. So he's got it. And I'll just mention this too, that I just saw because I've been on YouTube checking stuff out, that I just saw an interview that he had with Larry King, which is the most, you know, two ends of the spectrum of people being across the table from each other. And it was, he was calm during the whole interview, personable, and, you know, pretty much the opposite of the recluse kind of. He was just very selective with his interviews. But I was like, that's kind of a brave interview, because what the hell does Larry King know about Prince to begin with? And it was that's when he was a symbol too, so it was, which was making his Larry's
right
mind explode. And he's like, what happens when people call you and you answer the phone? What do you say? Hello, this is, you know. He's like, but
can he just say hello?
Exactly, that's what he said. He's like, I know everybody that's calling me. I don't really use the phone, so they know my voice. So I don't have to identify myself. He's like, but come on, what is this thing? But continue.
You saw some of the pictures I shared on Facebook with like the block party that kind of got thrown together at the last minute. And I think the night before I saw Orgy, and they were opening for Filter when I went to that show. I only bring them up because they sounded like complete fucking shit.
Filter?
Orgy. I couldn't believe how poorly mixed they were, how bad they sounded. You couldn't hear half the crap. And my point is, that's a band on tour in the middle of it in an enclosed setting. And they had these people, like the local musicians that I didn't even know, that were playing Prince songs at this block party that was thrown together that day. And it sounded 10 times better than a band who's on fucking tour. And this is outside, you know, right outside of First Avenue, the club there. So,
but anyway, continue on. Yeah, give us some local flavor about, you know, obviously it's...
Well, it happened kind of organically at first for us, because I actually had to go to my aunt's wake on the day they threw that block party. And it's a good hour and a half out of the Twin Cities. And we were driving back, and one of the local radio, my wife and I, I'm saying, one of the local radio stations was playing only Prince all day. And so we're listening to it, and then they mentioned that they're throwing a block party. And we're literally entering the Twin Cities right about the time it's starting. So I'm like, we probably should go, you know. So we just, we're in the fucking car, you know. I mean, and on top of that, it's only like 20 minutes from my house to begin with. I couldn't believe it when we got down there. You know, it was, the traffic was backed up. I mean, it was amazing how many people ended up flooding this. And, you know, we hung out till about 10 o'clock at night before I went to, you know, there's that bridge over 35 that they lit up purple.
I saw that. Your pictures were cool. I saw how crowded it was. It's nice.
Yeah, and the block party was fun, even though it was really just people in the street listening to Prince tunes. But and they were selling alcohol, but I couldn't find it. People are drinking anyway, let's put it that way. Oh, and Corey Taylor was playing in the club that night.
You mean his club or the club?
No, in like First Avenue.
That's what I mean. Yeah, the First Avenue. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's inside. Anyway, so but that was a lot of, you know, it was probably the most endearing moment of the weekend. And eventually by Sunday, my wife decided she had to go out to Paisley Park. And you wouldn't believe this, but it was almost like he built Paisley Park for a memorial like this to happen.
It looks like a museum. I was shocked. I don't think I've ever seen the exterior of what it looked like before. It's just kind of unimpressive. It looks like a business.
Yeah. But across the street is a park, and by street, I mean it's a four-lane highway. And the cross street, they had nothing. But there's a park right there, and it's a really fucking big park. And so there's all so and they had everything organized. They diverted all the parking into the park. They had it all ready for you. And there's these little pockets of parking spaces, so it's not like a big parking lot. So we parked basically as far back as you could because that was all that was left. You walk back, and then you walk down to this creek, and there's an actual paved sidewalk that takes you under the highway we were just on and takes you right to Paisley Park. And as you go under it, you're under this bridge, and there's all this Prince graffiti now, so it's like, well, this must be Graffiti Bridge. But we get up there, and then you saw the pictures of all the crap, you know, like hung on the fence and stuff like that. I don't mean crap in a negative way, but yeah, and people were very respectful, and it was just quiet, and even the news media outlets, we went and I tried to, like, see if anybody, like, I would have recognized was there. There wasn't. But apparently he liked Captain Crunch and Doritos, because people were leaving boxes and bags of both. So
apparently I read some interview with the director, Purple Rain. He said he also liked spaghetti and orange juice, which about made me vomit. Have you ever had that as a combination?
Spaghetti, no, meatballs. There's very little I have with orange juice.
Okay, well, that's a weird combo. But anyway, that's what he ordered immediately. Their first meeting, I guess, and it stuck to his head how odd it was. But anyway, moving on from his dietary needs, the other part that I remember from Purple Rain, just because you mentioned First Avenue, is. And I don't know if you noticed this when you rewatched it, but at one point they actually poke fun of it. And then they go, yeah, that's a great set. We just play one song and we leave. I don't know if you noticed that. Like every time they get on stage for their set, they're like, welcome.
Well, isn't it implied? Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They announce it, he comes out, plays Purple Rain, and then they all run off stage sweaty.
Yeah, and did you notice how bizarre the crowd was? Like it was 90%.
Yeah.
White, and then they all kind of look like the Walking Dead. They would just stand there. I don't know. There's a lot of funny things I've
seen. Well, and then there's also like the it's a packed house again.
Yeah.
And then the boss, the guy who runs First Ave, is like, this is your last chance.
Yeah.
To do what?
To do what?
Yeah, pack the fucking place. And then like Forrest Day, who seems to only never play, is like, yeah, that's right. Can't, you know, the whole movie has all sorts of flaws, but it's a brilliant testament to that time in the 80s at the same time. So
also the basement where he crawls in, it is filled with like porcelain dolls and I think somewhere between 10 and 15,000 candles. And the whole thing's fun. He's like, it's like, I'm either riding my motorcycle. I'm communicating with others through a puppet, in the dressing room. And then I'm back on my motorcycle.
Probably played every instrument on the record. And he wrote, directed, and starred in the movie, so there had to be some. He couldn't be awesome.
He didn't direct it. I don't think so. I think it was Albert something. I remember reading, but he wrote it. He didn't write it either. It was like. Anyway, there's a nice. There's a really good.
Why are you killing my memory of Prince?
Well, Lewis? I'm so sorry. But these are the realities, Baco. But anyway, we've been bantering on for quite a long. Why don't you? Because you. You know, I said you had full reign of what songs you want to play. Why don't you break down a song for me? Like, what do you want to feature?
Well, you know, why don't we feature the song I want to by also talking just a little bit about Prince as a guitar player? I don't know, you think he's underrated, correct?
I do.
Yeah, I don't think he gets... I mean, he's so good at every instrument and almost anything he does. So it's not that hard to believe that it gets overshadowed, considering he doesn't make a lot of guitar music, but he is fucking insane as a guitar player. I assume you saw that video of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that started getting shared all the time, where he's on with Tom Petty and they're playing like While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and he's just fucking shredding that.
The only halftime show ever that's memorable for me is the one in Miami. This was the Colts and Bears, which is an awesome matchup to begin with. But then the just straight up that he killed it for like 15 minutes in the rain. Obviously, too, made it extra.
Yeah, it started raining during Purple Rain. That was and not a note lip sync for all those people that I can never believe. God, but I don't want to get into that. Maybe we'll save an episode again for just Super Bowl lip syncing myths and realities. But yeah, he was live the entire time and just fucking killed him. By the way, that guitar, the cymbal, there's no way that thing can stay in tune very easily. So that could pull it off. So
just because of shape or something.
So I brought up guitar because I think the song I want to play now. Have you heard the song Guitar?
What album is that on? Is it just one of his random singles?
It's called Planet Earth or something like that. It's a fairly new song.
Okay.
But I love you, baby. Like I love my guitar. Or not like I love my guitar. Fuck, I fucked that up. Sorry, Prince.
All right. Okay, cool. So let's play the song Guitar featuring Prince on guitar. I definitely want to hear some of the stories. These are local stories or stories in general that
a couple mainly local. Yeah. You know, cause with the death, all these people are now doing interviews and I'm getting to hear a handful of things from people. And one is from Shaq. So that's not local.
So. All right. Well, let's hear the one from Shaq. Break it down.
Prince had a club in Minneapolis called Glam Slam. And it was named that. He had a song of the same title, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the NBA All-Star game was at the Target Center, which was just a couple blocks away. anyway, Prince threw a party, and like Shaq got to go there, and he performed. Shaq was doing his rap at the time, and so he did like a concert of rap tunes. And anyway, this was
the time when he was dressing like a genie as well.
Yeah. His movie career and all that, you know. Anyway, but up at the top, there is a second room, and it has this giant fountain. And I know all this because I've been in the room, and that's my personal connection here. Shaq is, you know, hanging out, and someone comes and taps him on the shoulder, and he's like, Prince wants to see you. And so they go to where this room with the... You know, during Glam Slam time, and the way Shaq told the story, this was a private room with this giant fountain. And he goes in there and he says Prince has just got like four of the hottest chicks there. They're rubbing his feet and they're feeding him grapes.
It's like coming to America.
Yeah. And now the personal tie-in comes in for me is that he sold the club and it became this thing called the Quest, which used to do this thing called Quest for Mayhem. And it was a local hard rock night once a month. And Jesus Chrysler played there a couple times in the upper room. And they would do two stages, the main stage, and then the other one was in this room with the fucking giant fountain. And that's the room we always played in. And so now I'm like, I was playing, you know, 8 years later, the room where Prince was getting fed grapes, so I had no idea. So.
I got you. In the same room, you just imagine him in one of the corners being treated like some kind of sultan.
Well, yeah, and that one of our best shows was there too.
Good. A little Jesus Christ connection. Well done.
That's the best I can do. Sorry, folks, but I spent a lot of time in Minneapolis, but I never bumped into Prince at Walgreens. So.
Fair enough. Apparently, when he was a Jehovah's Witness, he would knock on doors at some point during his initiation.
Shut up!
That's supposed to be a story. He had to do
it. I would let him in!
Can you imagine?
He's like the only Jehovah's Witness that ever gets let in. Like,
can you imagine him coming up?
You know what? I do want to hear about Jesus. Come on in. I didn't think I did.
Can you imagine though, when he one of his last looks obviously was his fro. He just answers the door and he's got his amazing fro going on, and he's wearing the white shirt, and there's a bike outside, and I don't know, just the whole thing. Apparently, that's the same thing. You have to do it a little bit to get during the process of becoming a Jehovah's Witness. I know nothing about it, but it's probably bullshit. So
I'm gonna go with it. I want it to be true.
Yeah, so do I.
I want to see that 5'2" guy.
Oh my God. I'll just talk about the one of the most impressive things obviously with Prince too is his vocal range. And I wanted to feature just actually the last snippet of one of the songs on, I think Purple Rain is a perfect album. I didn't think that when I was younger, because one of the songs that I would skip over, mostly because my attention span was that of a fly, was The Beautiful Ones. And the first 3 minutes of this song.
It's nice to see that's changed, by the way.
you mean humorous?
Attention span.
Yes, it's a little bit longer, but not that much longer. But that was one of the reasons I like Kiss so much too, because all the songs are 3 minutes. And you know, Zeppelin, I was just like, this is too much. 4, 5, 9 minutes, I can't handle it. But anyway, moving back to this, is that The Beautiful Ones, the first 3 minutes of it is kind of a crooning, slower love song, and then shit gets.
See, I'm fuck. I should just be a Prince impersonator.
Yes, there you are. But
spot on. Carry on.
Spot on. But at the 3 minute mark, this shit goes wrong. You know, this woman he's romantically infatuated with. You know, she leaves him or something like that, and then his vocal range is just insane. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Baby, 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 listen.
Yeah, and it is the highlight of that song, too. It's like, all of a sudden, you're getting kicked in the face. And it's a great scene in the movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Apollonia looks at Prince, then looks at Morris, then looks at Prince. And she goes to Prince.
Right, but that's directly after he beats her, too. It's like a most bizarre thing. He, like, has domestic abuse. He does that song. And then he actually did two songs in that set for that night, because he goes right into Darling Nikki, as he just grinds over the stage as kind of a way of upsetting her. The whole scene is bizarre. And then at the end, they get back together. There was some stuff left on the cutting room floor. I was like, wait, he beats her, he grinds on the stage, and all of a sudden they leave halfway
after. It's fucked up, isn't it, though?
It is.
What you're saying, like, how, like, it wasn't even discussed back then. Like, what the fuck is he doing? What is wrong with her? Why is she going back to him? Morris never beat her.
Yeah, he threw her in a dumpster one night, and then that was the next thing. It was just the most misogynistic. I mean, never have I heard any discussion about that. Like the whole, if that movie came out now, is my point. People's heads.
Oh yeah,
the reviewers would be like, how did this get released? How did the, you know, the, apparently back in the day it was very risky to, you know, there weren't. Movies made about you know, rock stars to begin with, and then the fact that he wasn't even that, you know, he just had a couple hits, like,
yeah, just 1999 and Little Red Corvette at that point, really, right. I mean, there's a couple of more minor ones before that, but
that's it. So yeah, man, why don't you break down another guitar oriented or whatever one of your favorite songs by him.
Yeah, we're featuring, yeah, we didn't even mention that this, we are featuring kind of the rockier side of Prince.
Yes.
Well, there's this song called Peach, which was, to my knowledge, only on like that double disc, the hits and B-sides thing. And it features, what was that chick?
Sheena Easton. Blonde.
No. An actress. Blonde from, Batman. Who is,
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger. Right. One of us is right. anyway, it's called Peach.
My mind, here she come, dressed in red,
Yeah, great choice in songs, Baco. Now, you know, obviously there's just a dump of you had to stay off Facebook for several days after he died, but, and there's tons of articles.
I had to cut myself off, by the way. I was like, all right, you've done enough.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the headlines that The Onion did that was brilliant was the headline, "Nation Too Sad to Fuck," even though that's what Prince would have wanted.
Yeah. Give them credit, man. They were very good at that because that was not tacky or out of line, or you don't go find yourself shaking your head or going too soon. and yet it stayed true to the onion. Like, you know, it. So
I always like
kudos to the onion.
Yeah, yeah. I always think it's funny when the onion actually includes "fuck" in the headline, just to push it through. Because I don't think they did that when it was actually a print publication. If you ever got that back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, continue on. You got another story?
Yeah. Do you are you familiar with Paul Westerberg?
I know of him. He's from. Where's he from?
The Replacements, another local band that kind of had a, you know, they grew national and stuff.
Right.
But Paul, he still lives in like the Twin Cities area here. So, and by the way, he still doesn't have a license. He's never driven a car in his life.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Anyway, he's obviously had his brain picked about Prince because they were coming up at the same time. And he shared a couple stories that I found kind of endearing. And the first one was being that, like, you know, he's recorded at Paisley Park a bunch of times, both with the Replacements and as a solo artist. And he said, like, you know, when he was with the Replacements and they're working there, you know, after a certain amount of time, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, Prince will pop out and you'll see him not like all poofed up and stuff like that. You know, he's just a guy. And he'll hang out in the control room, and he's like, and there's like this main atrium that they have, that must be like the entrance or whatever. And he's like, we'd be just standing in there talking about something, and all of a sudden he'd come shuffling by in his pajamas and slippers to make some microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, and it's funny to imagine Prince making microwave popcorn, much less dressed in pajamas. But I like how endearing that story was. It made me want to be that guy. I wanted to be there to see that. And the other thing he said is when he was recording as a solo artist, his brother-in-law died, or you know, a family member, somebody close to him passed away. I don't want to misquote that. But so he had to take a couple days off from recording, and when he came back, the recording studio was filled with balloons. That Prince had left there for him, and if I really wish you could have heard him tell it, because like you can hear him get a little choked up, and he's like, I'm gonna cry right now just talking about it, you know, because it was just such a nice little gesture that he did. But oh, and one last thing from Paul Westerberg, he said when he first met him, it was in a bathroom in St. Paul, and you know, at this time, this is before Purple Rain, but they knew who each other was, and he said to Prince, "What's up?" while they're peeing. And Prince just responded, "Life." So,
all right, very deep.
He's very classic Prince. So I don't know.
It's the pissing next to Prince story. Excellent.
Pissing next to Prince.
But yeah, man. So let's do some more music.
All right. Well, fuck it. You got the look. I love that tune. I don't know if you have to know that one, right?
Oh my God! How can
I mean,
you not?
I'm only picking hits here, so.
It's a perfect song. It's a perfect pop song.
It is. It's great. And it's got a little bit, and you know, it's got that little kind of like really, I don't know. What's the fucking word? Anyway, he uses a lot of effects on the guitar to get that really tight little perfect sound that only works in a Prince tune. So.
Yeah. And if any 80s rock band would have come out with this, that would have been, you know, I'm just talking about like a whatever, quote, hair metal band. Everybody mm-hmm. would have dug it. This rocks just as much as any Poison song, and has just a massive hook. Yes.
Yes, and it's got Sheena Easton, you know, kind of bouncing around.
Yes, in the video, no problem with that. So here's You Got the Look.
I've never seen a pretty girl look. The dream we all dream of.
Oh, please.
Boy versus girl in the world series of love.
Baco, what you got next? You got another story?
Yeah, maybe one little one from a guy named, you know who Jimmy Jam is? Him and Terry Lewis were in the Time, and they did like all, they produced Janet Jackson during her.
Yeah, I remember the names like in the 80s as producers. Go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, they're in the movie Purple Rain, but Jimmy grew up with Prince and they went to high school together. And he was afforded the opportunity to jam with them. And this was before, you know, Purple Rain came out, so I don't know if he was playing with the Revolution or not, whatever. But he was jamming with them, and he said they'd work and work and work, and he just wouldn't get it. And then the next day, they'd come back, and he's thinking he's ready to work on that, and Prince would have a full, like, writ up demo of, like, Little Red Corvette ready to go. And it's like, when did you even find time to do this? I went home and practiced what we were working on, you know? And he shared a lot of stories like that about, like, his kind of, I don't know, music virtuosity, for lack of a better term. I don't know. I mean, how he could just do, like Jimmy thought he was a pretty solid piano player, and then he heard Prince, and he didn't right. feel so good about himself anymore. And I, you know, but, you know, anyway, the big picture there is that, you know, Prince was, you know, so prolific and was always writing and recording music. And that's why he built Paisley Park, so that, you know, anytime he wanted to record, he could record and it would be professional and all that stuff. So maybe we'll hear some of that crap, but I don't know.
Yeah, I saw some older picture, I'm guessing it from the 80s, of just like a straight up, like, full club within his place. Like with the stage.
Do you know about the parties he would throw out there?
Yeah, I've heard of some of them, but the...
Yeah, I mean, like, it'd be last minute, and it'd be free, typically. I think there was times you would get charged, but yeah, he would announce it through his fan club, and then, like, you'd go out there, and it would start at, like, midnight, and then he'd show up at 3 a.m., and they would just jam whatever, so...
Yeah, yeah, and that's where I think that when people are mentioning the cocaine, you might have used some, being up at 3 a.m. all the time, but... Who knows?
We're starting to hear the stories that it sounds like it was an opiate, addiction, right. Some kind of Percocet or painkiller. Well, we talked about Purple Rain right there at the beginning when they're playing. There's a scene where he jumps off a fairly sizable riser, at least 4 feet, if not higher.
Yes.
Lands, does the splits, springs back up like he is a spring, and the whole time wearing high heels.
It's amazing.
And, you know, because some of the rumor is that, like, it's hip issues. So maybe he should have talked to Paul Stanley about just getting those fuckers replaced. You know what I'm saying?
And the high heels.
But yeah. Yeah, it's going to be drugs, and it's sad, but...
But yeah, man, so that was the whole thing. Like, it seemed like every time he recorded something, as soon as it was recorded, it was almost like released, done, move on to the next thing. You know what I mean? Like,
he had to just get it out
of the system, and that's why I think that... He, you know, he had the creativity, and he was such a, you know, an artist that's what he had to do. He
a was true
like,
artist.
Designed. Yeah, not for fame or anything like that. It was just like, you know, he obviously liked to perform, but he just needed to do it. There's no other way he could exist.
He would have left Minnesota if it was about fame.
I would think so, yes. I mean?
And that's another thing. A lot of people around here really held on to that. Yeah, he was much beloved, and it's nice to know. I can tell you that the people around here really reacted to the coverage he got from the national media and just the outpouring of dedications to know. You know, because you know when you see somebody like that and it's not from your community, you don't think too much of it. You know, I mean, it's like, of course we're all sad that Lemmy passed and David Bowie, but to know that the rest of the world, you know, because growing up here and living here. A lot of people were very, you know, encouraged by that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I'll just leave you. I don't have much else to say, but I remember looking at some of his last couple concerts in the month of, I think it was the month of either February or March of this year. But it was breaking down that he had one of his concerts was from like midnight until 4 a.m. and he played 57 songs. Not kidding you.
Yeah.
Like all of Purple Rain, all these deep cuts, all this kind of stuff. There's probably 25 songs I recognize. The other one, I have no idea what they are, but 57 songs. I mean, that's more than like a Pearl Jam three-hour concert or whatever. That's just nuts. So he definitely, you know, to the
end, he loved playing.
So it's pretty impressive. So what else you got? You want to just take us out with one of your songs?
I want to take us out with probably my personal all-time Prince favorite. It comes off the 1984 classic, the soundtrack to the beautiful and probably greatest movie of all time, Purple Rain.
If you like purple motorcycles, but continue.
If you like purple motorcycles, chicks being tossed in dumpsters and trickery
with the wrong lake.
Well, you know, and the spousal abuse, by the way, was because he was like his father and he didn't like it.
No, I understand that.
That was the message that you missed, Luce.
Yeah, and he took on the role of beating woman too. And
anyway, recorded live. Yes. During the 25 days that he shut down First Avenue, the last three songs of Purple Rain were recorded while they were doing the Baby, I'm a Star!
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.